Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, welcome to Home-Based Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
All right. Hey. This is Baba Jahi. Good morning. And thank you again, Isaiah, as you always introduce the show and have been for years. And we thank you for allowing us to have your voice as a voiceover artist for your granddaddy for his Sunday morning gospel of working from home radio show. So we like to say all praise is due to the Creator, and we thank you for Isaiah's blessings and gifts. Hey, good morning, everybody out there. We got a lot of things we want to talk about today, and I'm going to put them in several different contexts, but, you know, the main thing is, what is your purpose? What is it that you have decided that you want to do? Not what somebody tells you that they think you should do, or that something, somebody else suggested. But what is it that you want to do? And especially, this is very, very important because as it relates to Home-Based Business 101, is that if we're going to move forward, prosper, and have a business, it's got to be about what we want to do, not what somebody else thinks we should do or what somebody else thinks that we're good at. I never forget years ago, because I do a lot of cooking, somebody said, you ought to open up a restaurant. No, that wasn't for me because I'm a cook. I'm not a restaurant owner. And then even with that, I wouldn't want to be a cook at a restaurant because of the time constraints. But, you know, for special kind of occasions, I could come in and could do something for somebody, but that's not where I'm going with today's show. I'm just giving you some ideas to think about as people might tell you that there's something that they see that they think that you're good at. And yes, you might be good at it. But if that's something that you want to do every day for business or the majority of your time, see, when we have a business, is that it has to be connected to a passion. Because when it's not connected to a passion, it's not a business anymore, it's a hustle. And when I say that, what I'm saying is to people out there listening and understand certain language and terminology, it's a let me get whatever I can get right now from those that are purchasing by what I'm offering, as opposed to let me market a service that I can stand behind, help people with, even if there's some challenges that goes through with it. And I understand that from a deep perspective in terms of being able to help people with their taxes in terms of movements and limited tax services. And when people get questions and letters from the IRS, they don't want me telling them, well, I don't know, you got to handle it. I'm like, well, you know, wait a minute, I paid you to assist me with my tax preparation. They have some questions, and all I'm asking you to do is, what is it that I need to do to respond to these questions? And it's the same for those of us out there who are building a business. If you have people that are working with you, I don't like to say for you, but working with you, and they have questions about something, you know, and it pertains to what you're actually doing together in terms of business, then you owe them an explanation. You owe them an answer. You owe them something besides, hey, you figure it out. That's not fair. Okay, I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. I want to get to, again, today's subject matter, which is your purpose. And it starts off with, ever you're at along your journey, are you ready to commit to the new you? Mind, heart, body, energy, everything becomes one and one accord. In other words, and it's the same in a good book called Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. The introduction is written by Wiley Famous Amos, and he talks about, call it Project Operation New You. And we all need to have, he says, Operation New Life. I look forward to meeting the brand new you. So that's very, very important, is that wherever we're at along our journey, in terms of our business development and things that we're doing, is that we focus in on how do we commit to being the brand new you. If you want to lose weight, what are you really doing to lose weight? If you have habits that you want to finish or not to overindulge in, that could be from eating chocolate to drinking. If you know so many pieces of chocolate is going to cause you to act a certain way, or so many drinks are going to cause you to act a certain way, what are you willing to commit to put those things in check so you can say, I'm the master of this. This is not the master of me. And that's very, very important, you know, learning how to be able to do that. Because to me, some of the things that mean a lot in life is the roads we have traveled, decisions we have made, and decisions we're going to make, and what influences and shapes those decisions. And it takes me back to when I think about some of the things that I've been through in life, and again, some of the things I'm about to share with you is not to impress you, but to impress upon you that I have traveled a road that enables me to have the credibility and the credentials to speak on these airways about Home-Based Business 101, because it all centers around leadership. And that takes me back to being a student at the University of New Orleans. And what everybody do is take everybody through, or who is Baba Sitawi Jahi, because you should know your talk show radio host. Takes me back to being a student at the University of New Orleans and being a student there as an older student and coming home from the Vietnam War and then ultimately going through the community colleges of Baltimore and relocating in Louisiana and then going to the University of New Orleans to continue my education. There were some things that I got involved in that had a major significance and impact on my life. It helped shape a lot of things that I do today. What were some of those major things of significance that happened? One was I got involved with the NAACP at the University of New Orleans through a good friend of mine who worked diligently with me, and we still have a good ongoing communication relationship, Mr. Kirk Pellerin. And he came out of the NAACP Youth Council in New Orleans under the leadership of Mr. Llewellyn Sonnet, who trained a lot of young people in New Orleans in terms of leadership development. And we worked together, me and Mr. Pellerin, to put together the NAACP college chapter on the campus of the University of New Orleans in 1977. Then after about 3 years of good hard work, we had developed the number one NAACP college chapter in America. In America. I didn't say in Louisiana. I said in America. So naturally, anybody that understands leadership and leadership development, people that put that together were some highly sought after people in terms of carrying programs and projects to other places because of their leadership skills and development. And that enabled me, Sitawi Jahi, to be involved also as a student activist through the Louisiana Black Political Assembly to connect with Father A.J. McKnight, who had a foundation called the Southern Cooperative Development, to come there and work. That was part of the deal, but the other part of the deal was to work with him at the Holy Ghost Fathers under the Holy Rosary Seminary School to help train young men on becoming priests. And from that, I learned a sense of values, a sense of what it means to do right and wrong. I already had that sense of values also, because part of the reason that Father McKnight wanted me to work with him was because of my practices and belief in Kwanzaa and the Nguzo Sala. And you're probably saying, well, Baba Jahi, what's this got to do with today's show, your purpose? I'm just sharing with you things that took that helped me reflect on and see my purpose in life so that you can take time, reflect on your life to see your purpose in life. Because once you touch that, then, hey, you will be able to open up the, I call it the treasure chest, to your heart's desires. To your heart's desires. Why not you open up that treasure chest so that you can achieve your heart's desires? There's a good movie that me and my wife, we like watching, and it's a series called Pirates of the Caribbean. You're probably saying, Johnny Depp and them, what's got to do with all of this kind of stuff? Well, if you follow the movie, Captain Jack Sparrow, Johnny Depp, he has this compass. And when he hits it and he says, people say, well, the compass must be off. Where does it point to? And he said, it points to your heart's desires. And so we all have a compass in life that can point to our heart's desires. And that's what the main point I wanted to be able to get to. I know I went through a lot to get this far. But what is your purpose, your compass, to get to your heart's desires so you can unlock the treasure chest to your life? And so for all of my home-based business owners that, you know, really want to move forward in home-based business, remember this. As you move forward, whether it's in network marketing or traditional business, make sure you have scripts for the most of the things that you want to be able to go through. Don't always shoot from the hip. And those that understand what I'm talking about, shooting from the hip, that means not having a script. Have a script. Always have a script. Because some days your energy is not going to flow the same way, but once you learn how to read the script and know the script like it's a play, because, see, I'm into theatrical productions, because at the same time when we won that NAACP number one college chapter, we had a big play that went over really good called A Journey Through Time that I wrote, and it was a great, great play in which a good friend of mine who played Moses in the play from that went on to become a pastor of his own church, Mr. Charles Griffin. And, you know, I'm so happy for the relationships that I have been able to develop over time with people. And that's why I mention people's names. Because it's important as we move through what we do, we don't do it by ourselves. There are people that we're connected to that enable us to make things happen a certain way in the universe, where people are connected a certain way, more happens, you know. And there's a saying that, you know, that a lot of times people have that they say in Christian church, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there too. So it's the same when, that's a universal principle. When people are gathered together and it's in the spirit of good, in the spirit of divine creation, then that positive energy force will also enter into that circle, making it a great thing to happen. And that's one of the things that Mr. Napoleon Hill talks about in his book called The Power of the Mastermind Group, is that once you have connections connected together, then there's things that can happen for what you're doing that will enable you to open up more doors, more channels, and move things even faster and forward than under quote-unquote normal circumstances, because you'll be in another dimension. And what do I mean by being in another dimension? Well, it goes something like this. You know, you'll be in another dimension because so many things that hold them down day to day, and they wonder why other people run circles around them. I mean, I never forget the commercial that the military has. It says we do more things by 9 a.m. than most people do in a whole day. And I understand that because, you know, I'm an ex-military person. And when I'm really in sync and doing what I'm doing, I do more things before 12 noon than most people do in a whole day. Now, you know, that's 3 hours off from their time schedule because they said by 9. But for a 65-year-old person, I feel that's still really good. Yeah, I can get up, and if I'm up and on my schedule and doing what I need to do by 7 a.m. in the morning, then by 12 noon, I'm usually able to be complete my physical work schedule, which enables me to do things like I'm going to go do once I finish the show today, is go work in my garden, hold a garden, get all the weeds out. I got 4 more pepper plants to plant because I love gardening, because I like being able to grow my own vegetables. And the thing about being a home-based business owner is that you have got to like being able to control your schedule. Because if you do not like being able to control your schedule, but your schedule is impacted by demands and requests from people, and you're trying to fit them into your, you're trying to fit yourself into their schedule, their requests and their demands, then you're going to have a hectic time. You schedule how you develop and run your business so that you can be the most effective person that you can be as far as for affecting things for yourself. Okay, we're getting close to wind down time. So I got some things that I want to go through out of Think and Grow Rich. These are called the major attributes of leadership, because it all boils down to this. Building your own home-based business is all about your leadership, and the first person you got to lead is yourself. I repeat that. The first person you got to lead is yourself. Okay, and as Mr. Eric Thomas says, are you willing to own the change? Whatever it is that you have to change to get you to where you need to go, are you willing to own it? All right, let's go through some of these major attributes of leadership here before we run out of time. Number one, unwavering courage based upon knowledge of self and one's occupation. No follower wishes to be dominated by a leader who lacks self-confidence and courage. No intelligent follower will be dominated by such a leader very long. And you got to have unwavering courage if you're going to be a leader. Lead people, lead your industry, lead whatever it is that you're doing in business. Then the next is self-control. The man who cannot control himself can never control others. Self-control sets a mighty example for one's followers, which the more intelligent will emulate. Self-control. So important. I mean, I can give you so many examples of that. Now, I won't go into a bunch, but I mean, I know people who have access to stuff, if without self-control, they become a common thief. And that's not good. Which leads to the next one, number three. A keen sense of justice. Without a sense of fairness and justice, no leader can command and retain the respect of his followers. This is very, very important. What is right is right. What is wrong is wrong. The two do not get along. So, you know, it's very, very important that if you're going to be a leader, you're going to build your business, you have a keen sense of justice. Number four, definiteness of decision. The man or woman who wavers in his or her decision shows that he or she is not sure of himself or herself and cannot lead others. When you make a decision, you got to be able to stick to it, because you should have been and thought it out. Okay, you got to ride that decision. Number five, definiteness of plans. The successful leader must plan his work and work his or her plan. A leader who moves by guesswork without practical definite plans is comparable to a ship without rudders. Sooner or later, he or she will land on the rocks. Definiteness of plans. I mean, I understand this one very, very important, because I sit up many a night, even when I'm not doing the actual work that I do as far as tax preparation, but planning, and making sure that I have plans. I got plans right now for up to the next 3 years. I want to be able to get plan to go, you know, I want to be able to plan to go further than that. And me and my business partner will be meeting next week, and so we probably will. But definiteness of plans. You have to have a plan. It just can't be, as I said earlier, shooting from the hip. Okay, number six, the habit of doing more than paid for. One of the penalties of leadership is the necessity of willingness upon the part of the leader to do more than he or she requires for his or her followers or clients. This is a tough one right here because, see, you get paid to do more, but sometimes doing more will take you out of your comfort zone. Because you'd be like, well, I don't feel like doing that right now. Well, you know, hey, I understand. And you have to pick and choose what things. I'm going to say this. I don't have a universal policy of just overextending myself. But for certain clients, because they've been clients for a while, I will go over the edge and do more for them than I would, say, for a brand new client who I know nothing about. So that's something you have to deal with. But you get paid for doing more. Believe me, you do, because you want repeat business. Number 7, a pleasing personality. No solemnly careless person can become a successful leader. Leadership calls for respect. Followers will not respect the leader who does not grade high on the factors of pleasing personality. Pleasing personality, even though I have sometimes some disgruntled people that I have to deal with. I didn't meet them, they were disgruntled, something they misunderstood. And, you know, I just turn on that pleasing personality piece and says, let me make sure, Mr. Johnson, Mrs. Johnson, let me make sure I understood you correctly. And, you know, I ask them this, in appreciation of what you said, Mr. and Mrs. Johnson, if I understand you correctly, you said such and such and so and so. How can we resolve this situation? See, you got to be able to hear the client, know what it is that they said, even though if you think what they're saying to you is totally irrelevant, doesn't make any sense, you got to at least hear it, and then you got to repeat it back to them so they can make sure that we're both talking about the same thing. And that ties into number 8, sympathy and understanding. A successful leader must be in sympathy with his followers or her followers. Moreover, he or she must understand them and their problems. Doesn't mean you're going to solve their problems, but you better be able to understand your people's problems. If you don't understand them, you can't address them. So it's very, very important. Number 9, mastery of details. Successful leadership calls for mastery of the details of the leader's position. You have to be able to make sure that people understand what it is that generates the revenue from what you're involved with, especially if you're even asking them to come work with you, partner with you, or be a part of your business operation. They need to understand the process from what is done to how the sale is made and what kind of commission it creates and what can they expect to get out of this and what they need to be committed to. So you got to master the detail of what's involved. Number 10, and this is a difficult one for a lot of people, willingness to assume full responsibility. The successful leader must be willing to assume responsibility for the mistakes and the shortcomings of his followers. If he tries to shift responsibility, he will not remain the leader. If one of his followers makes a mistake and shows himself incompetent, the leader must consider that it is he who failed. In other words, if you got somebody on your team, remember, you brought them on your team. And you should have went through all those processes before putting them on your team. So that way, if they do something that's a shortcoming, is that, you know, it's a reflection on you. You're the leader. You know, you recruited them. And when I say recruited them, I'm talking about, like, from the college sports level to other things. I mean, I think about colleges like Duke in terms of basketball. I can't ever think of Coach K having a player on his team that was involved in some kind of scandal. Why? It's because he goes through all of those things before even bringing them on board, knowing them, knowing their personality, and making sure that they're going to be a fit for what he does. And so, you know, you have to assume that responsibility, because if you brought somebody on, you said they was going to be a fit for what you do, and they're not, you're the one who brought them there. So you need to make sure you have policies and procedures about bringing ethical people on board to your business. And the last principle, number 11, cooperation. The successful leader must understand and apply the principle of cooperative effort and be able to induce his followers to do the same. Leadership calls for power, and power calls for cooperation. You're going to have a team, you got to get people to be able to work together. Now, I know sometimes that can be a difficult task, very difficult task, but you got to be able to find a way to get people to work together and work in harmony. And too often what people do is they put up walls and barriers to keep them from working together. They'll put up religious walls and so many other different kind of walls, class walls, where you grew up walls. But, you know, and the thing is, you as the leader, you have to find a way to forge through that, which brings me to one of the great leaders of the 20th century. And that great leader was the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. Now, why I say he was a great leader? When I talk about cooperation, Mr. Marcus Garvey, the theme for what he presented to African Americans was one God, one aim, one destiny. One God, one aim, one destiny. He had, within his organization, he had people of different religious denominations you would think would never be able to work together. He had black Christians. He had a black Islamic component, a black Hebrew Israelite component, and a traditional African spirituality component. But because his philosophy was one God, one aim, one destiny, is that he could get people to cooperate and work together where under normal circumstances they're arguing about their religion to one another, trying to convert each other. And that's the thing. I'm using that as an example for even for my listeners who are beyond the African-American community to just understand that principle of cooperation is that people can apply the same thing that Mr. Marcus Garvey learned and used to what they're doing, is don't let people divide the organization along class, gender, or religion. Because when you let people do that, and you jeopardize having cooperation and unity to move through your business development. And the most important thing is you need is cooperation and unity, and where everybody can have a sense of belonging, but nobody has a sense of controlling, absolute control over the group. And that's what happens when it becomes one religious denomination. If it's just a Christian denomination, then the people who are not Christians, they don't feel comfortable coming to the meetings or things that you're doing or being on your calls, because they feel it's just one way. If it's an Islamic denomination, then it's the same there. And if it's, you know, any particular religious denomination that is pushed on your followers, can, one, it can inspire certain people, but also can disunite certain people. You need that cooperation, because the bottom line is, again, use Marcus Garvey as an example, his philosophy, one God, one aim, one destiny. And if we were to take that to the human scale and say one God, one aim, one destiny, people of the world could learn a lot from that. You know, there's one divine creator. I mean, because that's my philosophy also. There's one divine creative force in the universe. We should all have one aim, and that is for the betterment of humankind, to make being a human on this planet called Earth the best thing it could possibly be. Not how many nuclear bombs the country that I belong can drop on your country and crazy stuff like that. And one destiny. That destiny to me is world peace. With that said, hey, this be's your brother, Baba Jahi, signing off. God bless you, and thank you for tuning into our show today.